Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Action-packed three-hour program lined up today, including Chris Bennett, sportsbook director here at Circa, on the show in 30 minutes. We'll go over most wins in baseball in the month of July with him. Nigel Seeley, best bets in Wimbledon for tomorrow and also maybe a future or two. Doug Kazarian on the WNBA and NBA free agency beginning a little bit later on tonight. And VSiN host Matt Brown on the NFL betting guide, which drops tomorrow. How was vacation, pal?
Good. Good to see you, champ.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Had a lot of fun.
Good to hear.
Good to be back. I met Ozzy, TMI, the genuine article, and lived up to the hype. Hell of a guy. The stories. Remember, he's the guy that cast that crazy ticket on golf, and then we had him on the air, and that little TMI, but it was a good time. What if I told you he was dating the daughter of a billionaire owner, sports team, and he said, nah, not working out for me. She said, either we get married, you move in, or it's over. Billionaire.
Well, I would need to know many more details than just that.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But that's, I give him a lot of credit.
Tells me that something's, I'm not going to make a comment. I'm not going to, because I don't know who the billionaire owner is. Yeah. I don't know who's listening, so I know nothing about the story. But I'm going to say that knowing nothing more than what you just told me, he probably has a reason why.
Okay.
Or multiple reasons why.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So, big trade. We'll get into NBA free agency, by the way, coming up in about 10, 15 minutes here. And the news last night with LeBron and this Malik Beasley story, again, under investigation for a gambling-related incident or incidents in his playing days, and he's still in the NBA. That's coming up here in a little bit. But I would say that this is a big trade in terms of the names today, Pauly, in the National Football League, and it's very rare that you get a deal like this, especially considering that the calendar is flipping to July tomorrow. But it is Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith from Miami and a pick to Pittsburgh in exchange for safety Minkah Fitzpatrick, and also they're going to be getting a pick. There is nothing really positive I can say about this deal. The only thing would be negative, and that's from the Miami standpoint. And everybody making the case since the schedule came out, and maybe even before that, that this is the year to bet the under on everything with Miami.
Yeah, very popular.
And then also, did you know this is popular as well? Mike McDaniel, first coach fired. People have been messaging me like crazy over the last 10 days telling me, get on this while it's still hot.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Not bad. I hate the trade for Miami. Hate it. Love Jonnu Smith. You know, when Tua was out and Hill was banged up, he was a target machine.
He was better than Tyreek Hill.
Yes, he was awesome. Why would you trade this guy? It's great from Pittsburgh's standpoint. You know, Miami just gave Ramsey $4 million as well. So Pittsburgh's paying the bulk of the contract coming up this year. So you add Ramsey, you get Metcalf, you get Rodgers, you get Jonnu Smith. You can run the ball, two tight end set, which Rodgers wants to do anyways. I love the Steelers week one against the Jets, lane three. And I hate what Miami's doing here. Interesting that Fitzpatrick goes to Miami as he wanted out and didn't like what they were doing when it was Flores when he was the coach. But I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs because it's such a tough division. But I love it from Pittsburgh's standpoint and what this can look like offensively now that you added another weapon for Rodgers. And I think they were kind of, you know, Rodgers was bad in with the Jets, but I didn't think you were going to get much from the Fields-Wilson tandem. But I think they can have a good offense this year, and it's a great trade for Pittsburgh. The other question is, what's going on with the T.J. Watt stuff now?
Right.
That you're thinking, you're hearing about offers, and the last time we saw him on Instagram, he was flashing the peace sign.
Right. Well, the Steelers are pretty dead set on saying this outright anyway, and that is they want him to remain in a Pittsburgh jersey for the rest of his career. But I think they probably have to say that. But, I mean, if the right deal is out there, is that something that they're going to actually consider, according to some of these reports or whatever? And if you go based on his IG, maybe that would be. I mean, if a team comes calling with a first-round pick and maybe something else for T.J. Watt, that is something I think that you absolutely have to consider if you're Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yes, and I think it's serious. I mean, last year of a deal, teams are thinking about offers and going to make the call to Pittsburgh. And I also think it's a big deal, whether it's a negotiating tactic or whatever, that he puts that on social media that, you know, peace sign, I'm out of here. That's it.
Yeah. So it's only negative for me, for Miami. They somehow got worse going into the season.
And I think
there's a path that, like, if you're playing exactas, The Bills are, I mean, they have to be just such the number one team probably to win their division in all of football. Because the gap between Buffalo now and those other three teams got even bigger. I mean, nothing that Miami could have done to close the gap anyway.
Yeah.
But there isn't, look at this. Look at the win totals right now on the season. There isn't a single team within four is the closest, right? The Patriots are at 8.5. The Bills are 12.5. They are, the 260s light to win the division. They should be like $450 or $5, yep, in my opinion, to win this thing.
Yep.
But if you play exactas, I would probably at this point only look at playing Bills 1 and the Patriots 2. Are the Dolphins better than the Patriots today? Were they before this trade?
I think so. I think the hype train with the Patriots is out of control. Vrabel 6-1, coach of the year? Come on. That's getting a little carried away here, what we're doing. Also, same with Ben Johnson, who's a similar price. But I understand, though, why people are so down on Miami. The Patriots will be better, and you think the Jets will be a little bit better, too. But the thing that kills McDaniel is how bad they were when Tua got hurt.
No.
They were horrific. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get first downs. They led 10-0 against Indy and lost that game like 13-10 or whatever it was, and then beat the Browns as DTR was in there and kept turning the ball over. They were a mess without Tua.
I think this cements the idea that Buffalo's chances of getting the one seed
right,
in either
right.
conference, right?
That's yeah, a lot
that's
of,
the team.
Yeah, very popular in the guide too. Yeah.
And also
plus 350 in that range.
Sure, and maybe if you want to look at the one seed overall, the most wins in football, any of that stuff, and if you want to play Super Bowl exactas, their path to me sets up just beautifully more than any other team in the AFC. And it, quite frankly, I don't even think it's that close.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why it doesn't really do much for me with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I have them as a fringe playoff team anyway. So grabbing them at like plus money to make the playoffs was a thought that I had before the season was going to start at this point, but I'm not certainly going to rush out. They're not the best team in that division. They're not the best team in the conference. I'm not making a bet on them to win the AFC. I'm not going to recommend you go out there and bet them to win the Super Bowl either. And here's something that is a little, I guess, under the radar or not talked about enough with Aaron Rodgers' career. He had, I thought, some really solid tight ends in his time with Green Bay, and they basically never had that great of a season. JerMichael Finley, now he was a little bit of a head case that came to fruition, I think, after he left Green Bay, but his three best years with Rodgers, like in his prime, 55 for 676 yards and 5 touchdowns. He had 48 for 703 and 7 touchdowns. And he had 61 for 667 and a touchdown. Those are okay, but nothing like, man, Jonnu Smith's going to go to Pittsburgh and have 1,000 yards. I would never buy into that because it's really never happened with a tight end with Aaron Rodgers. The best year that a tight end ever had was the one a couple years ago by Robert Tonyan. He had 59 for 586 yards and 11 touchdowns. Jimmy Graham in 2 years had 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. That was it. So it never really sparked. Like, this was never really the position to make it work with Aaron Rodgers, and I could never. It happened, like, over and over and over again. I'm like, why doesn't that work with the tight end that they have there in Green Bay? It just didn't. So I'm not going to buy in now into, like, year number 18 with Rodgers that suddenly Jonnu Smith is going to be a great target for him, which is a little unfortunate.
Okay, but I think he'll have a good year, though, because of the offensive line and what they didn't have with the Jets to be able to protect them up front and get the running game going, too. So, and I can't believe Miami's just going to trade the guy as well. To give up a weapon like that. And you don't know where...
He's a throw-in. You didn't have to do that.
Yes, I know. And you don't know where Hill's head's at either, day-to-day.
Yep.
So, again, very popular with the Sharps and very popular in the guide as well, the anti-Miami stuff guide out tomorrow. Can't wait.
Were you shopping at all on vacation, looking for different bets to make in the NFL? What'd you pick up from the guide? What did you do?
I took a little 12-1 49ers best record and 6-1 one seed. That's at William Hill. 9-3 the last 12 against the Rams. Lost 6 one-score games last year. Easiest schedule in the league. Special teams were a disaster last year. Cost them several games. Plus all the injuries that they had. And if I can get Purdy back to almost winning the MVP like he played 2 years ago before the Monday night debacle against Baltimore, with that schedule and the fact you have getting everyone back, and that the one-score games are going to flip, and you can't get any worse on special teams. Yvonne Coble was making the case, too, for this as well. But I think one seed is worth a look. Eagles have a tough schedule. I like Detroit under. How bad, difficult their schedule is. I think they play six teams that made the playoffs on the road. It could be more than that. It was outrageous.
Yeah.
So anti-Detroit, big on San Francisco bouncing back. Love the Rams, but then again, Shanahan owns the Rams. So I did some futures on the 49ers. I think they bounce back.
McCaffrey's 29 years old. I'm wondering what he's going to look like, too, this year.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything that you just said makes a lot of sense. Their schedule is so easy, Paulie, that if they can stay healthy, but there's something about this team where they can rarely, if ever, stay healthy. It's been going on for like 5 years away, it seems. And I think he has to be at the very top of the list. Like, I certainly, if he plays 15 games this year, McCaffrey will probably be in the mix to win something like Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But will he? What if he only plays nine games?
I know. That's fair.
I know.
But I'm getting my wide receivers back. I know you like Pearsall.
I love
the
Pearsall.
The weapons are there. They just have to survive these injuries, and that luck has to go their way. But the big takeaway, though, is, you know, they can't win 11 games. The schedule's a joke. It's a joke.
It's the exact opposite of last year.
Correct.
Where I thought it was probably the most difficult for any team in the league, and now this year it's by far and away, going into it anyway, the easiest schedule.
So I see the Niners winning at least 11, and I can't get there anyway, anyhow, with Detroit, with what they have to go through, that gauntlet, and you lose both coordinators.
It's very difficult. Yep. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get into Malik Beasley, the latest player to be under investigation for gambling-related irregularities, and free agency begins already tonight.
Let's go.
The biggest newsbreaker in the league has a strong opinion on what to expect tonight.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paul, what if I told you that the day LeBron James hinted that he wants out of L.A. if the organization does not improve the roster, less than 12 hours after that, a former number one overall pick in the draft, who is a center, the exact position the Los Angeles Lakers need, also owed $30 million by his team, is bought out.
And shares the same agent as Luka.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, conspiracy people having a field day.
Intriguing.
They love it. Laker fans love it as well. Because now you can just grab Ayton without giving up assets. Can you get Ayton and keep Finney Smith? And say what you want, he's eccentric. But the guy was a double-double machine. I know didn't work out in Phoenix. He had some good games down the stretch with Portland. But that would be a major, major get for the Lakers now. That doesn't make much sense that Portland decides to buy him out and that the Lakers could grab him.
Yeah, impeccable timing here.
I know.
So what would you say about this? For those people who have access, and it might be at a legal sports book, DraftKings might have this up in some states. It might be, you know, who knows else? Who knows where else you might be able to find it? Recommending to bet that DeAndre Ayton's next team being the Lakers at 3-1. I reached out to a buddy of mine today, kicked it around. I said, hey, what do you think about this idea? Mm-hmm. He said, let me shop around. He was able to get $50 on it.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're not going to get much down, obviously.
No.
But he was able to fire down $50 on it at 3-1. I'm actually going to be a little bit surprised if Ayton does not end up with a Los Angeles Lakers uniform next year.
Right. Now, it sends some good numbers. Again, double-double machine. But the other thing is, remember how it was in Portland, where he's like, oh, my back hurts. Why does your back hurt? Well, I've been sleeping on an air mattress. I'm having problems here moving in and finding a place. You're on a max contract. Get a bed. Get a bed shipped in. What's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. A guy was sleeping on the air mattress. And remember, it was with Monty Williams. I'm not going into the game. I'm not playing. That's it. So, but I'm sure he's going to be rejuvenated. The fact that it could be LeBron, Luka, Ayton, and that'd be awesome for the Lakers if they can do this. And I like your bet. And he's the favorite for a reason at 3-1.
What's his name? Todd Gack. I like that name. The Lumbar Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like Louis Oosthuizen.
That's right.
The back was so bad. That story came out years ago that he would have to travel with his own mattress. Imagine that. How convenient would that be?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is ridiculous, though, that story. I mean, come on. You signed a max deal. I mean, it was like, have someone get the bed to you. It's sleeping on the air mattress. Crazy. But the other thing is, I think this LeBron thing is much ado about nothing.
No, that's absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
If ESPN's trying to create a story here, if he opted out, then you'd have something to talk about. He opted in. They just drafted his son and did him a favor. He has, what, 2 years left, tops? He's going to retire a Laker. Not many teams can get him. And you're going to give up assets for a guy at that age and only have 1 or 2 years, and you can eliminate Cleveland because they're in the second apron.
Right.
So regardless of what his team put out last year, or last night, rather, yeah, they're going to be watching the moves. But you got the good news with Ayton. So LeBron's not going anywhere. He's going to retire a Laker.
No, of course, that's going to happen. And, you know, he dictates a lot, has for his entire career. There's also this, because, again, coming up in about an hour and 40 minutes, that's when free agency begins, 6 o'clock on the East Coast, 3 o'clock Pacific time. Sham Srini, earlier today on ESPN, said there's going to be some big deals tonight. Big deals. So what I'm going to be doing tonight is, well, we're going to be live on the air, but I'm going to have my phone right in front of me live when we're on the air, and I'm going to have at least, you know, one of the websites that we can bet on as well, ready to go, to see if anything happens, if I can get down a decent number on some of these teams when the news breaks. All maybe right. It's going to be worth a bet.
Well, I'd be surprised. I hope he's right, but I think he's selling their free agency TV special tonight. We have had some big deals go down already. So we'll see if that continues. You know, I was out when you had the big Celtics trades and what happened with KD. But
why are you going to be surprised?
I don't think many teams can do anything. That's the problem. Not a lot of teams have money with this new apron stuff and the rules that they've implemented and put in place to kind of cut down and not allow what Golden State did a couple years ago, where you can win a championship simply by with the checkbook.
Did you see what happened to Giannis's next team odds yesterday?
Go ahead.
The Atlanta Hawks dropped from 30-1 to 6-1 to get him.
Things have been quiet there.
Sure.
Right. But if you're Milwaukee, though, don't you look around at the East landscape and what happened and Halliburton out for the year, that you don't say, hey, maybe we keep this together and because he just gave Bobby Portis $40 million.
I brought that up last week when you were gone. I said there isn't a single team in the NBA who has screwed it up more than the Milwaukee Bucks. And
True. They
brought that GM back and signed him to an extension.
Yeah.
They should be in prime position this year to dominate the East or be the one or the two seed,
yep.
whatever, and they're far from it. Like, they can't do anything. They're completely stuck.
Yep.
So if they don't trade him now, this is going to be like Shohei Ohtani all over again in Major League Baseball. The Angels are going to get nothing from it, and that's going to happen to the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's the right deal out there or not, but I have a funny feeling they're probably going to bring him back. But he would be the biggest of all potential names that would be on the move.
Yeah.
And then after that, take your pick, but I think it's going to begin with Ayton going to the Lakers, and that's 3-1 right now.
Well, I also go back to what happened last week, and like Miami didn't even try for Kevin Durant. They didn't even try to put anything decent in the offer. So there's just teams don't have a lot of money, and then teams don't have a lot to give up, but I'm hope I'm wrong there. And a team
they're signing these players to just the preposterous contracts never end.
Reed, $25 million a year?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What was James Harden? What did he opt into? Was it
$80 million.
2 years, $80-plus million. He's going to make more than almost $500 million playing basketball in his career.
Correct.
And have nothing to show for it in terms of a championship.
Right. And you had to swallow hard and bring him back again after another Game 7 debacle.
Of course.
His legacy is so bad in the playoffs in big games. And the Clippers decided, okay, well, here's 2 for $80.
We're going to do it. I don't care where this comment would take me. I wouldn't give him more than $10 million a year. That'd be the limit on him.
Yeah, he was
not
so
a chance.
Right. He had a couple good games, but the rest of the series killed him against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Killed him. I was going to make the case here for your Pistons, 16-1. To win the East, but the Beasley contract is now off the table.
Well, he was a big player for him last year.
He was great.
How about all these allegations now?
Yep.
Not from this past year, but the year before when he was with Milwaukee.
What do you got? So, well, something like this is obviously unfortunate because now you're in here, well, don't put props up and you got to lower the limits and stuff like that. But maybe he's innocent, kind of like Rozier. We'll see how it plays out. I also don't like when something like this happens because you have a bunch of Columbos then who go to the internet and say, well, look at this game. Look at this game.
Sure.
Oh, he missed a free throw. But this is bizarre because when the feds are involved, it's not good.
No, that's never a good thing. But I will say the reason why it's a story is because sports betting is legal. Mm-hmm. This is not going to get caught, Paul, if Nevada was still the only state where you could bet on sports legally and this was happening offshore or with a bookie.
Right.
Not going to get caught.
This also was bizarre. Well, what is this, Butch from Pulp Fiction? You have a significant move on the under with rebounds and he goes over.
He goes over. So I read Tom Haberstroh's story today, and to his credit, he went back and looked at like every game last year with the Bucks, and he watched film, and he also, like, in his story put He's like, watch this video. You tell me if this guy's like fixing games. So the report was on January 31st of 2024, flagged for betting oddities on his rebounds. That was the Damian Lillard return game to Portland on ESPN national TV. That's the game you talked about, did not cash. And he went back and watched every single rebound from that game. Nothing fishy, no Jonte Porter moments at all, no early exits due to suspicious injuries at all. He played in all but three games last year, or 2 years ago now, and he looked at all the numbers. Beasley was the most consistent player on the Bucks in terms of usage from a game-to-game basis. He never went above 24% usage, rarely dipped below 10%. The one part where you can come back and say, hey, this does look a little funny, he did take an 87% pay cut from the previous season to 2023-2024. He went from $15.6 million to $2 million a year.
He was on a prove-it contract, yes.
Yep.
Yes. But a guy who's made a lot of money in his career and then was great that season and great the last couple of years, but that's where you have some ammo about suddenly you go from 4 years, $60 million deal, didn't work out in Minnesota, didn't work out with the Lakers, and now you're making 2.3.
Right. So there was one video that I saw today when he was with the Wolves.
Okay.
The opposing team hit a free throw to make it a 9-point game. The spread was 8.5. He went coast to coast like in 2 seconds to make a bucket to cut it to 7. So they covered the game. That video was out there is all I'm saying.
Mm.
That was with, he was under investigation with the Bucks. That was when it happened with the T-Wolves.
Yes, right.
So.
Right. And then going back, tweets as well.
Yeah,
stuff he's tweeted
right. Yep.
In the past. Guide comes out tomorrow. Can't wait. In-depth preview of every team. Win total breakdowns, best bets, player props, betting projections. Everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Full access to every VSiN betting guide, every best bet, every host, every guest. The emails from Bill 80. Exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. Your smartest NFL season bet starts now. VSiN.com/subscribe. If you're serious about winning this football season, get the NFL betting guide, which drops tomorrow. Can't wait.
It's loaded. Tons of picks. Numbers are going to move throughout the offseason for sure. That's going to happen every single year, no matter what. But it's definitely worth a read, filing away for the month of July. Get those bets in before football season starts, no question. Up next, Chris Bennett is the sportsbook manager here at Circa Sports. He's going to join the program. We will discuss most wins in the month of July. Tricky month, all-star break. Some teams play 23 games. Others play as many as 26. How does he make numbers based on that? We'll ask him next here on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
I will see if we can catch up with Chris Bennett, director here of Circus Sportsbook, coming up a little bit later on in the program. Tied up this afternoon, they released most wins in the month of July. Of course, it is the final day of June today. And for the first time, I think, since we've been tracking this, other than April of 2023, the month of June, there's going to be no sweat. The Houston Astros.
Yep. How many low-scoring, one-run games can you pull out of your rear end?
I know it.
Incredible. They swept Philly. Was it 1-0, 2-0, 2-1?
They scored 5 runs in the series. The Philadelphia starters pitched more than 19 innings combined in those 3 games, and the Phillies scored 1 run overall, and they lost every single game.
Yep. 33-1 it opened at Will Hill, Caesars. Congrats if you had it. And they get it done. And Tampa had a hell of a month, too.
I think Tampa's going to have a hell of a July as well.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think about the Dodgers just at 5-1?
Can you believe this? Who cares who's hurt?
That's exactly what I'm
running
saying.
Running away with a division, 20-some games over 500. Mm-hmm. No sweat, no problem. Oh, by the way, Ohtani's hitting 101 on the gun. So it's who cares who's out there? We're going to win. I don't hate that at all.
No, they're 5-1. They're going to be, you know, probably substantial favorites in, what, 90% of their games in July?
Yeah.
Right around that number. So, and look, I went to war with the Yankees in June at plus 550 based on their opponents and how big the money lines were going to be and why I thought it was a good bet. I can't control that team getting swept by, like, the Reds, losing 5 out of 6 to the Red Sox. You don't foresee that kind of stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff happens, and it could with the Dodgers, but I think they're almost... They are... what's the word I'm looking for here for, Paul? They're negative proof. Or They can't, whatever they do, it's going to be, they're going to come up smelling like roses the way it seems.
Yeah.
They can have a lot of stuff happen to them and still they're going to be okay.
That's right. Yeah. Nothing can hurt them. Nothing can slow them down. And the other thing is I don't mind if you take Detroit either. Just because it looks like an automatic win every time Scooble's out there.
Oh, man.
He's on a 10-0 run with a 1.77 ERA last 14. Shuts down the Twins. And just how good their pitching is and how good their team is overall, that's another one.
Yep.
Which you want to study. But some of this stuff is just so random and you can't explain how, okay, all of a sudden the bats go cold and this team can't hit. How about the Giants get Devers? Oh, this is great. They get swept at home by Miami. Miami's won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
So it's a funny sport, funny game.
So there is a pitching matchup tonight that if you're going to watch one game maybe this entire week in baseball, this should probably be it. The Reds are playing at the Red Sox, and it's Burns going against Crochet, the rookie Burns for the Reds, who made his debut last week by striking out the first five Yankees that he actually appeared against, and then struck out actually all six guys in the first two innings, but there was a guy who got on in between that. So his prop is 6.5 over, is plus 128. VSiN.com, mm-hmm. We've teamed up with Ballpark Pal. They're calling for 6.6 Ks out of him tonight. And Crochet at home is 0-3, Paulie, in 7 starts, and he has a 2.13 ERA. Tough luck loser, 10 Ks per 9 at home. His prop is 8.5, around plus 115 to the over. At VSiN.com, they're calling for 8.7 Ks with a 40% chance of striking out 10-plus batters. So, I mean, he's a strikeout machine. He's now behind Scooble for the overall lead in all of Major League Baseball. He was leading before last night's masterful performance out of Scooble. But now to get 9 tonight, I think is absolutely reasonable. And Spencer Steer has been hot for Cincinnati for what it's worth. Last 7 days, 23 at-bats, 3 home runs, and 7 RBIs.
I like Burns over 5.5 at DraftKings. Boston is the number one strikeout team since the Devers trade.
Yep.
And what he did in his first start to come in there and 6 up, 6 down, throwing the heat, I don't mind that at all. And maybe the Reds can finally do this, that they're playing good ball. They were a trendy pick the last couple years. And see if they can continue to win games and how good Abbott's been, that maybe they can do this and make a playoff push and do this. But I don't mind Burns over strikeouts tonight as well.
These two teams were two of the most popular teams to the over with their win total and possible division winning bets, like here on VSiN, going all the way back to spring training.
No, I love the Red Sox. Just been
so
ridiculous here.
Yep. It's
between bullpen issues and they couldn't score for the stretch, long stretch, and then the trade they made with Devers, it's been a nightmare for Boston. They certainly should have a better record and be in contention.
Yeah, Padres are playing at the Phillies. You get knuckleballer Waldron going for San Diego against Zach Wheeler at home. This year, over 8 starts, Zach Wheeler is 4-1 with a 2.39 ERA, a 0.84 whip, and 12 Ks per 9. And Ks at home this year, he struck out at least 10 twice, struck out 9, 8, 7 twice. He's 10-2 over his K prop in his last 12. I bet him over 6.5 Ks at plus money today. It was plus 120. The rub is the Padres are very good at limiting strikeouts.
I love the Phillies tonight. Now, I'm going to have to go run line $1.15 because we're up to now 240 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
Getting carried away. But I really like this Phillies team. And number one ERA in June with the rotation. But it's all about Wheeler, who's 5-1 with a 1.94 going back the last 10 starts against San Diego. I don't know what you're going to get out of Waldron and how long he will go. But I think the Phillies cash the run line and walk away with an easy win tonight.
Oh, and they get Bryce Harper back, too.
That's true. That is big. Yeah,
so they
absolutely
got that going.
Yep. How about the Pirates? Not good when the Mets have a team meeting and they still get obliterated.
Yeah.
Pirates swept them, outscored them 30-4. But a lot to like with the St. Louis team. It's Fetty today. They're a 111 of 15, averaging 6 runs per game. And don't look now, they could catch the Cubs. So St. Louis playing great ball. But the Pirates off the surprising sweep. And we'll give them credit, though. The managerial change has worked out. At least they're playing 500 ball. And hanging in there and doing a better job offensively.
I'll tell you another team. It might not be the Cardinals. Could be the Brewers to catch the Cubs.
Oh,
Milwaukee
really?
Might do it as well. Oh, they've been...
Silly loss yesterday.
Oh, terrible
loss. This guy's the real deal, though. I mean, he has as many wins as hits allowed. Mizorowski?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, come
he
on.
Is, yeah.
So with good pitching staff and what they're doing, that guy's just fake. What he's that's you don't ever see that again. 3 wins and 3 hits allowed in 3 games.
When you were gone last week inside the pizzeria, I gave out Rays to win the AL East and the Brewers to win the National League Central at higher than 31-1.
Not bad.
on a two-team parlay
sure.
there.
Sure.
But the Cardinals also have a very easy schedule for the rest of the season, so that is certainly possible. Let me bring this up. The Royals are playing at the Mariners tonight. It's not the sexiest matchup on paper in terms of starters. You get Michael Walker versus George Kirby. Kirby, he's had like one really good start, and other than that, hasn't been so great for him coming off the injury. But the Mariners are back home off of a 10-day road trip, no day off. Mm. So there's that Malinsky special right there. I don't think I'm going to take the Royals, though. Here's my approach to the game. Kirby versus this Royals roster in 48 plate appearances, zero walks, a 182 average, and a 211 WOBA, 17% K rate. Michael Wacha against the Mariners, 80 plate appearances, 28% K rate, 203 average, and a 302 WOBA. I split up a couple of bets here. I played under 7.5 minus 120, and I also played under the first five in the at four runs at minus 125. This Royals offense has been a thing all year long where they stink, yeah. and the Mariners are kind of backsliding now.
Yep. Witt does own Kirby. Has great numbers against him. If you want to play Witt props, so good luck to you there. And the other, I was going to mention Ernie Clement, number one against lefties. It's Rodon against Scherzer. He's hitting 425 against lefties, number one in the league. If you want to play Clement props, and he continues to crush it. And I find the Tampa game interesting. 7-1 last eight starts with Rasmussen, who's personally 6-1 with a 1.62. But Lopez has been good.
Been very good.
With the ace, yes. Yes, so he's been awesome. So that's a sneaky good game tonight, and Tampa's up to 170, 16-5 last 21 at home for the Rays.
Just based on the numbers, again, Ballpark Pal at vsin.com, they called for Lopez to have like 6.5 Ks tonight. I played over 5.5 at plus 120, just based on the numbers there. Their projections have been pretty good, and if it's going to go one full K over that number and I'm getting plus money, I have to take that bet. Brandon Lau's last 7 days, 8-for-18, mm-hmm. 3 home runs and 7 RBIs. The Rays are legit, man.
They are.
That's a good team right there.
Vlad owns Rodon as well. Total ownage.
Don't you want to go Scherzer like under outs tonight? Yeah. He's making the case in his first start.
Yeah, hasn't gone well for him. He hasn't beat him in 12 years, the other thing. So what did we just have, 16 straight unders for the Yankees?
Yeah.
Before Sunday?
Yep.
Ridiculous. What's with this offense? And the Giants, 17 runs in their last six games.
Yeah, that's been, I don't know where that came from.
Loser, the White Sox. Need a proxy? Join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service, winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN, winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. It's that time, getting close. We got a football game at the end of July. Come on.
Logan Webb has phenomenal numbers against the current Arizona roster. Sub 200 average,
yep.
A negative 3.9 launch angle, which I don't think I've ever seen before, for a guy who has faced a team 134 different plate appearances. So that's really, really good. I have like 5 or 6 bets today in baseball overall. And it's a small card. So can't go any worse than it did on Friday. Up next, win some, lose some.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why I was on the wrong side of a vicious beat on Friday night. Paulie with the details coming up next.
Some Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
UFC 317, Smith by submission 5-1. Talbot by decision 8-1. Pantoja to win in round 3, 10-1. A lot of decisions or favorites that ended it early. In the UFC card. WNBA. Dogs have been barking for weeks. Wings plus 260. Lynx plus 1.5 to minus 4. Cash it. Chicago Sky yesterday plus 290. What a run Angel Reese is on.
I know.
Back-to-back-to-back games. 15 rebounds, but the offense is there. She had, 26 points, I believe, in the win. Doug Kazarian with more on that coming up in a trade they should make. And the Dream plus 1.5 to minus 4.5. These numbers go crazy when there's an injury, and they're treating it like the top player. It's like Michael Jordan or something, when it's anything but.
Well, last week with Caitlin Clark was absolutely bananas.
Yes, it was.
Two of those games. They won the one game that hurt me, but the game before that, they were terrible, and they lost, and the number clearly never moved, you know, enough.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're on a lousy team with Beckers, but, I mean, is she worth 6 points? I mean, some of this stuff is fascinating. Welcome back, Nigel Seeley. He's on in 10 minutes to talk Wimbledon. We've already seen some huge upsets today. Medvedev goes out. Bonzi, the dog, was 9-1. Ferry plus 380. Royer plus 280. Yari plus 270. And what is top five player Fritz is behind? Lost the first two sets as well. Ton of upsets already. And the Houston Astros opened 33-1, closed 20-1 at Caesars Will Hill for most wins in June. And a shout out to Darren, who watches Follow the Money every day. He recently retired. So enjoy your retirement. Thanks for watching, pal. And glad you're part of the team.
Well deserved.
Yep. Enjoy retirement, friend.
Yes, sir.
Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. We'll send them in. Mitch sent this in. It's awesome. This is the dog, home alone, just waiting, setting up at the kitchen table, getting ready. Jumps up on the chair, patiently waiting. Let's go. Let's be a family, and I want to eat. And this I saw the picture you sent in the video. It's an A+ with the video where the dog is sitting there in the chair by himself waiting at the kitchen table.
It's on We Rate Dogs. Excellent handle on Instagram. By the time I saw it, Paul, I can't even tell you like how many hundreds of thousands of likes and comments it had, I think, combined.
Yeah. So good. Look at this. They're so smart.
That's a stellar video, man.
I know. I love it. It's like the one, did you see the one where the dog, the owner goes to work and the dog takes the shoe and sleeps next to the shoe while he's gone? That's good. Interesting vacation. A lot happened. Hung out at the Bellagio with Ozzy. Ozzy was at the high limit. Big time player. I'm walking through the high limit. First thing I notice, how about $2,000 a spin in top dollar?
Oh boy.
Two credits, $1,000. Can you imagine? $2,000 a push in top dollar. Okay. And then our buddy Jordan from Mama's Pizza, four deuces. Gets dealt two deuces. Then it comes deuce, deuce. That's $4,000. That's definitely a win some. Congrats. That's a big win from Mama's Pizza. And then Ozzy decided to play Wheel of Fortune. And it was $100 a spin, a push. And he put $1,000 in. And on the third try, he gets the spin the Wheel of Fortune. $20,000. Up top, your big boy, $20,000. That's the highest value on that. Every spin is a jackpot. And on the third try, he gets it on the third spin.
On the third spin, he got $20,000.
He's able to get the bonus, and he walks away with $20,000 on that. And there's the picture to prove it as well. So,
did he have a winning week?
He did. He did very well in the WNBA as well. He's a good sports bettor. So then there's a friend, a guy named Harry. And Ozzy didn't want to go to the win. This guy, I love it here at the Bellagio. We go to Prime Steakhouse, I charge everything. My host takes great care of me. Everything I want is right here at the Bellagio. I don't want to go to the Wynn, Harry. And Harry worked in the restaurant business, and he's retired as well. So Harry says, okay, I'll leave the Wynn, Ozzy, and I'll come to you at the Bellagio. So then Harry goes to the high limit at the Bellagio, and they're hanging out. And Harry's playing $25 denomination 10 play, which is $1,250 a push. And up top, peekaboo, top right, dealt three to a Royal. He gets the Royale with cheese. So Harry walks over and gets $100,000. There's the picture to prove it.
Wow.
Incredible. Incredible run for Harry. When would you tip Ozzy? Come to me. No, you got to come up. I'm not coming to
the win. I have no idea. Whatever's on him the rest of the night then.
Oh, that's incredible. Good stuff. $100,000 win. Lose some WNBA. Here's what I'm talking about, right? Saturday, the Mystics were 2.5, went up to 7.5. And Friday, the Wings plus 7.5 and down to 2. Big adjustments here with gals are out.
Well, it's not working. That's an all-time bad spot for the Indiana Fever.
Yeah.
It's a back-to-back and a bunch of road games in the mix. There's no Caitlin Clark. They were just blown out in the fourth quarter the night before. Dallas is rested, playing good basketball. And that's a 20-point deficit for the Wings at the end of the first quarter. Are you kidding me?
Yep. One lose some here. I mentioned Jordan hit his four deuces. He's at the Atlantis in the Bahamas, right? So he walks around. And remember, the drinking and gambling age is 18. This kid's playing. He's 18 years old, and he loses $20, and he freaks out and is angry, and he slams and starts punching the machine. He did some serious damage to it, or he's got a good right hand. Sir, that'll be $2,700 worth of damage. He walks by. What the hell happened here? And then they fill him in on the story. I guess the gambling age 21 for a reason, though, too.
Yeah, true.
But the kid loses $20 and freaks out and breaks the machine. What did you have here? Several bad beats. Whiskey and revolver with baseball. Let's start Friday. Rays first five. Led 6-0 in the second inning. Couldn't cash.
Yeah, that's the one that I had.
22-8 final or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Oh, yep. That's brutal. Condolences there.
Well, what are they, by the way, you think, in play to just on the money line to win the first five, right, when they have a 6-0 lead?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it minus 10,000?
Probably. There's several of those that's happened this season
already.
Oh, man,
the first five beats, you could write a story already this year.
Saturday, Diamondbacks, $1.80, led 7-3 in the eighth inning. They blow it. Mets, Pirates, under 9.5. Pittsburgh gets 6 in the eighth. Yesterday, the Brewers led 2-0 in the eighth. They lost 4-3. Rockies, plus 210.
Yeah, to Colorado, by the way.
Yep, Mariners, Rangers, under 8.5. 1-1 in the top of the ninth. Get out of here. Seattle gets 2 in the top of the 10th.
Yeah.
Texas gets 2 to tie it. Couple home runs. Flies over. Red Sox, Blue Jays over. 5-3 in the 5th. Nothing the rest of the way.
I will say, that was 9. The Mariners-Rangers loss is way worse than my beat. 6-0, second inning. Okay, I'm a huge favorite. But that happens, right? This is just, it makes you want to quit baseball betting.
Yep.
1-1 in the ninth, you have under 8.5, and you can't get it done?
They get 2, I get 2, I know.
Oh, boy.
Before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources, sharp plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. They've been doing it since 2011. Documented track record, receipts, logs, results right there on the site. He goes back to our first year at VSiN with Follow the Money with Mr. Poison. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out, sharpplays.com. Hopefully we get some fireworks today. Free agency starts in a couple hours. In the NBA, Al Horford next team. Knicks 4-1, Golden State 5-1. Lakers 6, Milwaukee 7. Lakers could get Ayton. Lakers also trying to get Lopez. Maybe Capella. Chris Paul, next team. Suns, the favorite. I don't see it. I like the Clippers 5-1. Kings 4-1. Who knows what they're doing? Denver plus 850.
For Chris Paul?
Yeah, don't hate it. Don't hate it. Man, as you mentioned, Ayton, the favorite to go to the Lakers, 3-1. The buyout late last night with Portland. Shares the same agent as Luka. Golden State 4-1. Milwaukee 6-1. And Westbrook, the Bucks. The favorite for Westbrook.
He's
right. Pacers plus 450. Some odds there. About
did you bet anybody to win the East yet?
No, I did not, but it's intriguing.
I took and a I small know- flyer on the Hawks. The minute Porzingis was traded there, I bet him 50-1.
Okay.
But do I think the Hawks have a really good chance to win the East? Absolutely not.
Well, okay, fair. When I was talking to a guy I respect, and he was, I can't do it, but he was making the case and just saying, because of all these injuries, things are out of whack, and you have to look at the Sixers at 10-1.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But if they bring in some pieces, they stay healthy. It's a big if, though, with Embiid, but it's not bad.
Yeah, no, I had several people tell me that last week. I haven't done it yet. I can't get there, but.
Well, if you take out Boston, you take out Indiana, right? I mean, are you buying Orlando?
All right, Wimbledon is underway. As Paulie told you, some huge upsets on the men's side are ready today. Nigel Seeley on the program coming up next. We'll go over some of his best bets for tomorrow and any outrights he likes for the tournament next.